This month, I've been talking about power and glory. Power and glory. And I want to just put it aside for a while. You know, we don't see everything that there is to say about anything. We just see as much as we can, and the Holy Spirit will keep speaking. That's why we celebrate the fact that we are probably the only ones who read the book and have the author available. You know, it's very rare for you to find people reading a book and the author will be there and explaining things to them. Every time you open your Bible, every time you experience the Word of God, you have the opportunity to have the author explain things to you. Don't look at the human writers or human scribes. They were just secretaries, but the real author was the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, holy men wrote as they were moved by the Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. And men wrote it. So every time we open the Bible, whether in this place or anywhere, even when you are opening it, if you are conscious of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that ministry is able to expound much more than even what is written, because he is the author. And I'm believing God that this morning, that same spirit will rest upon us in Jesus' name. So to conclude, I want to talk about what I call the spirit of grace and supplication. The spirit of grace and supplication. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10. In the days of digital Bible, it's not hard to find. You know, some of you have even done it alphabetically now. So you just look at Z, just click on it. But back in the days, even for someone like me, I still bring physical Bible, you know, just to reduce distraction. Zechariah 7:10. The Bible says, I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look to me whom they have pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one who mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one who grieves for a firstborn. It says, I will pour on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. There is a spirit of grace. There is a spirit of supplication. We have been looking at how to get into power and how to experience the glory of God. We concluded that Jesus' model prayer ended with this phrase, for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory. Or in other words, the manifestation of the kingdom has to happen by power and has to happen by glory. You don't have a kingdom if that kingdom does not have power. Any kingdom without power is a useless kingdom. Any kingdom that there is no power to back it up will soon be taken out. You see some of this thing playing out in the world stage. You would discover that there is no nation that is immune to any foreign threat. So to be able to combat foreign threats, you need to be able to back it up with power. And ladies and gentlemen, we have power in this kingdom. And when Jesus was leaving the earth in Matthew 28, the last statements of Jesus was this. All authority or all power in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. He now said, you go. What does that mean? It means that as I have received all this power, I have it in trust for you. And if you know how to access it, you can go. Not only to speak about me, but you can go to fulfill everything that I've promised you that you will fulfill. So there is power in this kingdom. There is glory in this kingdom. And the route to that power and glory, we've kind of concluded since we started talking at the beginning of this month, that it is prayer. We said it is very important to understand that the secret to prayer is praying in secret. The secret to prayer is not only public prayer. We are going to do some prayer this morning and thank God to that. But there is power in secret prayer. There is power in your own individual prayer. There are sometimes some people see powerful man of God and you celebrate that. Let me tell you the truth. There is at the end of the day, there is really no powerful man of God. There is just a God that is powerful. And there are men that know how to tap into the power of a powerful God. You understand? So, ladies and gentlemen, God wants you to be a closet Christian.
He wants you to be a person who don't show up only on Sunday, and that's the only time you remember God. Because some people, their God is a weekly God. And if you are dealing with God on a weekly basis, you will not be strong. You'll be weak. So the people that want to be strong, they have to deal with him on a daily basis. There is something. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them that appear before God in Zion. And how often do they appear? Daily. They don't appear once in a while. If you are occasional with your appearing before God, also the power of God will be occasional and a facade in your life. The reason why it is not working is not because it can't work. There is a dimension of staying. There is a dimension of secret business. There is a dimension of you honor them in the secret, and then it shows up in the open. Don't believe when you see Jesus. Well, not don't believe, but don't think that it is only that small prayer that Jesus prayed at Lazarus' tomb that is all about raising the dead. You go and try it and go before, I mean, their cemetery. Some of you even drove past some of them this morning and just park your car and mention any name. Radio silence. They'll be pin drop. You'll say, Johnson, come forth. You'll be on your own. Or just mention any name. Why? The reason Jesus was able to say Lazarus come forth was not just because it was Jesus. It was because he knows how to stay long time in prayer. He knows how to stay in personal prayer. He knew how to commune with God. So God will honor you publicly if you have honored him privately. We have said that. So today, I just want to end with the fact that there is a spirit of grace and supplication. I can say many things about prayer, many things, but I want to end this our discussion briefly, that there is a spirit that helps people to pray. There is a spirit of grace and supplication, and you can contact it. There is something that comes on you that when you make up your mind that 2024 I will be praying regularly, it will not just be one of those New Year resolutions. There will be a supply of strength from the Almighty God, because you are not powering it only by yourself. Let me say this to you. Every house will be known for something. Every house. And by house, I mean physical building. But by house, I don't only mean physical building. I also mean you. I mean your business. I mean your marriage. The Bible speaking in Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4. It says, every house is built by someone. It says, but he that builds all things is God. What it's trying to tell you is that many times what people see as fluke, as luck, there is some level of building that is going into it. Sometimes even the people that are building it may not know, because God sometimes will walk through them and unknown to them, they are building something. There is a building. Even Jesus, the Son of God, why did it take him 30 years before you heard of him? There was a building. There was a capacity building. There was something that was happening to Jesus in those 30 years, that when he showed up in John chapter 2, and the Bible said, he told those people that go fetch water, go give it to the master of ceremony and let them taste it. And the thing turned into wine. It was because there had been a building. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that every house is being built. There is something that is happening in your house. And if you are not building intentionally, there is a building still going on unintentionally. The thing about farming is that farmers will put seeds on their farm. But it's not only the seeds they put there that grows there. There are other seeds that are growing there. That means there are other farmers on the farm. Some are known, some are unknown. And if you don't intentionally put the right thing there, the wrong thing will show up there. That's why Jesus was telling the people in Matthew chapter 21 verse 13. Matthew 21 verse 13. It was like, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Every house that is mine should be a house of prayer. If that house is a physical building like Victory House, it should be a house of prayer. If that house is your own zip code where you live in, it should be a house of prayer. If that house is you as a person, it should be a house of prayer. If that house is your business, it should be a house of prayer. If that house is your marriage, it should be a house of prayer. If it is not a house of prayer, it will be a den of thieves. It cannot be neither. Remember that the Bible said in John chapter 10 verse 10, it said the thief has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And so many times some people think the way he's coming to steal, they are going to see him with guns, they are going to see him with horns. I mean, sometimes some of those kind of things happen. But many times, how does he steal? Prayerlessness. Because my house will be a house of prayer, or it will be a den of thieves. If it is not a house of prayer, there will be transactions, unauthorized transaction there. Because somebody is not rising up to say no. Somebody is not rising up to say don't do it. Because do you understand that it is not everything that is happening that should happen. There are many things that are happening. The reason it is happening is that there is nobody to say don't happen. There's nobody to stop it. There's nobody to stand in the gap. And that's why Jesus is saying, my house should be a house of prayer. When there are transactions that are illegal, there needs to be prayer to stop illegality. If there is a transaction called sickness, there needs to be prayer to stop that. If there is a transaction called lack, there needs to be prayer to stop that. If there is a transaction called misbehavior, there needs to be prayer to stop that. You see, many of the things we argue in our families is a prayer point. There are many things that we talk about at home that we should be talking to God about. I don't have a problem with you sitting down and having a dialogue with your husband and wife. But if you only do that alone, you are making your house a den of thieves. You are rationing things. There are some things rationing cannot do. There are some things reasoning cannot do. There are some things that it is the work of the enemy. Remember, they told the master, we planted good seed in the garden. Who sowed bad tears? Who sowed bad seed? You see, an enemy has done this. So when you see what you didn't put there, when you see the pain that was not there before, when you see the growth that was not there before, don't start to cry. Remember that a thief is around, and my house will not be the den of thieves. I refuse thieves in this house. I refuse anyone who is trying to steal my joy. I refuse anyone who is trying to steal my sanity. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil is all out, 100% out now. He's stealing sanity. Many people are losing it. You can see people well dressed up, but there is something that is not quite correct. There is a percentage that is off, and it's because we are allowing these thieves to come in. And they are coming in droves. Some of us will sit in front of TV and you are watching TV. You don't know that some of the times when you are watching that TV, there is a planting going on. There is something happening there. Some of you are in a conversation. Some of you, something happened to you. A trauma happened. Yes, that thing is bad, but you don't understand that you have to go and give it back to the one who is not going to make that trauma now become a thief in your house. And you do it via the ministry of prayer. So ladies and gentlemen, hear me this morning and hear me very clearly. If you want your house to be built, if you want your house to be the house that God wants it to be, you and I need to understand that our house must be a house of prayer. Oh, I've heard some people, I'm not a praying person. Who is a praying person? This thing is grace. It's a supply. God supplies strength. God supplies, he supplies weakness. In fact, let me tell you the truth. Anything that you are weak at, that's the thing that God can work with the most. God knows how to use small things. He knows how to use weak things. When you are weak, then I am stronger. It is in your area of weakness. So I am weak, Pastor. I don't know how to pray. I wasn't born into a family. I heard your story that you were born into a family of people that pray. Okay, praise God for you, Pastor. But me, I wasn't born into that kind of family. So I don't know how to pray. Yes, all of us learned. Even the people that were born into the family that pray, they probably have people in that family that don't pray. The reason they pray is because they learned themselves beyond the family they were born into to a spirit called the spirit of grace and supplication. Ladies and gentlemen, there's that spirit. It's a spirit. It can quicken you. You can wake up in the morning. I've woken up at times before. I don't know why I woke up at that time. Because humanly speaking, I should be tired. And sometimes my physical body is tired, but the spirit is willing. Because there is a spirit in man. The Bible said, if the spirit of he that rose up Jesus from the dead dwells in your mortal body. He said that spirit can quicken you. It can quicken you beyond your human limitation. You are tired in the natural. You are weak in the natural. You are not the kind of guy that can stay that long. But there is a supply. It's like a battery. It's like a recharge that comes into you and powers you beyond you. I am praying for that grace this morning. It's flowing and resting upon somebody in the name of Jesus. So you need to understand there's a spirit that powers prayers. Just like there is usually a spirit sometimes that powers prayerlessness. You don't believe me? You try to kneel down and pray. You try to pray. You just find out that some people, you just woke up after sleeping 8 hours and you start to pray and you sleep again. So the problem is not sleep. There's something sponsored. It's like there's breeze when it's now prayer. You know, and some of us, it's not sleep that will take us. It's Facebook or Instagram. I was telling my son this morning, I said, I deleted my Instagram account. Not account, just the app on my phone. Deleted Facebook. I deleted TikTok. And it feels good. Will I not go there again? I will. Once in a while, maybe I'll install it every 2 weeks just to see what's going on in the world and to feel good. But you know what happened? The world did not stop. I'm preaching to somebody right now. The world did not stop. In fact, some of you don't know I have not deleted it because you don't know. So if the thief that has been stealing things in your life is Instagram and Facebook, receive grace to delete it. Make it louder. Say big amen. Some of you, 2024 will just be a real new year if you don't have Facebook. Sila. So prayerlessness is powered by a spirit. Prayerfulness is also powered by a spirit. There is a spirit that comes on man. There is a spirit to pray. God can anoint you. God can put his hands on you. If you look at the story of Elijah, you will see that this guy was empowered. You will see that this guy was enabled. You know, the Bible said they had to bring food to him in 1 Kings chapter 19. The angel brought food to him. And the Bible said, the angel told him, go in this might of this food that you have eaten. And the Bible said he went 40 days without food and water. Kai, how do you do that? That's not regular food. That's not even food power. That is Holy Spirit power. And he went in that strength. There is a strength that comes from God himself. And I'm praying for that strength to come for you, to come on you in this season and beyond in the name of Jesus. We are going to pray this morning, but I want to just give a charge before we pray, because it's not good to talk about prayer and not praying, because really, prayer is not supposed to be taught alone. There needs to be a catching. I'm believing God this morning that there will be the catching of prayer. There will be the catching of the spirit to pray. There will be something that will come on you that will be beyond you, that will help you to pray in the name of Jesus. So, you need to understand that God is the God that releases the spirit for prayers to be made. Ladies and gentlemen, prayers are not meant to be endured, they are to be enjoyed. Sometimes when some of us talk about prayer, some people will like, why is he talking about this very boring thing? Like, it is very interesting. I mean, I don't understand which world this guy is living in. Because when I start to pray like this, I just feel like, you know, it's very boring. After 6 minutes, I'm done. And even that 6 minutes, I've prayed for even some people that I don't want to pray for. I've mentioned everybody. I pray for missionaries going to Africa, the one coming from India. I've just prayed all over the world. And 6 minutes, I looked at the time, 6 minutes. And this guy is talking about prayer is to be enjoyed. I don't understand. The reason is because there is a spirit that powers that prayer. Look at this scripture. The Bible speaking in Isaiah chapter 56 verse 7. Isaiah 56 verse 7. It says, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in the house of prayer. I can make them joyful. I can make them be joyful. I can make them to be able to enjoy the presence of God. I can make them to be able to stay in the presence of God, and it will not be a burden. There are so many people, our attention span is so low that even this 2-hour service is too long for you. It's too long. So how will you not be able to pray 5 hours at home? 6 hours at home? Ah, Pastor E, what are you talking about? 6 hours, me alone? What will I be saying? How will I be conscious? You know, that can only happen when I'm unconscious, maybe in my dream. No, it can happen when you are conscious. The Bible said here, he said, I can make my house, I can make it a house of prayer, not just prayer, a joyful house of prayer. He said, their burnt offering and the sacrifice shall be accepted upon my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all people. So there can be joy in prayer. God can supply strength. God can supply grace. You remember that when Jesus was about to leave, or shortly before Jesus left, Jesus was praying in Gethsemane. And the people that were supposed to be praying with him, they were sleeping. They kept sleeping, and Jesus was like, oh my goodness, these guys, you can't watch with me. And for Jesus, a regular watch is 1 hour. Amen. So, Pastor, how long should I pray? For Jesus, one watch, one prayer point, 1 hour. Look at your neighbor. Say, Jesus is speaking to you. He's asking you a question. How long do you stay in the place of prayer? Don't get an answer. Just look at me. Just look at me. I just want you to continue in that joy, because basically, you say, what are you talking about? Look at this scripture. Matthew 26. This is Jesus. Matthew 26, 40 and 41. Oh, you already put it up. Wow. Amen to Jesus. Can you celebrate the media team? Wow. That's very good. Matthew 26, 40. The Bible says, then he came to the disciples and found them what? Sleeping. And said to Peter, what? Just like the way some of us be, what? You mean you can't? Could you not watch me with me for what? 1 hour. So according to Jesus, because in that watch with me for 1 hour, what he went to do was, Father, let this cup pass over me. One prayer for 1 hour. So if you pray one prayer for 1 hour, it's good. So if you have 10 prayer points, simple. And there's grace for that. Pastor, it's for pastors. Who told you that? No. There are some of you don't know that what you are asking from God, where God wants to take you, there is a dimension of birth. There is a dimension of travail. There is a version, I think we talked about that last week. There is a version of you that your answer needs, but you are not that version. You have to transform. There needs to be a change. There needs to be a catch-up. The capacity must be able to carry it. The preparation, what was prepared for you, a prepared place that you have, you must become the prepared person for that place. And let me tell you, one of the greatest preparation you can have is prayer. Prayer can get you ready. Get you ready for what God is getting ready for you. If you don't know what to do and you are waiting for something, get into the place of prayer. I was speaking in Isaiah chapter 40. Pastor read it, I think, to us this morning. And in that Isaiah 40, the Bible says, you can renew your strength. You can charge up your battery. You can have a strength that you didn't start up with. You can have more strength at the end than at the beginning. People think you have to fizzle out the more you get close to the finish line. Hear me, let me say the word of God to you this morning. You can finish even better than you started. In fact, let me tell you, the truth is this. If you are doing business with God, your latter should be greater than your beginning. Though your beginning be small, your latter end should greatly increase. But this increase will happen if you know how to do business with God. How do you do this business? The ministry of prayer, my brothers. The ministry of prayer, my sister. And there is a grace, there is a spirit that can come upon a man that can help them to pray. Is that not what the Bible was speaking about in Romans chapter 8, 26? We mentioned it last week, that the Spirit himself can help our weakness. It can hold us. The Spirit of God can hold you. Ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you how the Spirit of God has helped my weakness in many things. He has helped my weakness. Even this communication, speaking and preaching and all that thing that I do now, it is the Spirit. I was a very, very timid person, a very shy person. Even there is still a level of that today. You know, I have to be saying level because some people can't even believe that I'm shy. I'm very bold. You know, my voice sometimes sounds like this, but sometimes you can have bold voice and then there's a lamp on the inside. So how did we transition from that timidity? I remember back in those days, I knew I would speak maybe tomorrow to this is Sunday school, like school of the word, just a few people, but I'll be so timid and I'll wake up early enough. I will pray. So when I stand to speak, sometimes I will close my eyes from start to finish so that I won't see anybody. I would just be speaking. Just like, and then later some people will come back and say, that blessed me. I'll say, he blessed you. Did you hear what I said? In my head, I'm like, he's been nice to me. Then later, maybe 2 weeks later, somebody somewhere that really doesn't need to be nice to me will now say they were blessed. Why? Because I knew that I was weak, but I didn't need to deal with only that weakness. I can go into my closet. I can go into the place of prayer, and the Spirit will help. The Spirit will help my weakness. It will take hold of me, and I'll be able to outdo myself. Hear me, child of God. Many of us have been complaining about many weak places, many weaknesses that you have been complaining about. There are prayer opportunities. There are things you can bring to the altar. There are things you can bring to God, and He can strengthen you. He can supply grace. He can supply strength. Ladies and gentlemen, vain is the help of man. Vain is the strength of man. And even if that strength is your strength, it is still vain. Every strength must have a connection to the real strength, the strength of God. And that strength is gotten in the place of prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a Spirit that can come on people. And the Bible says He wants to pour out that grace. If you read Isaiah 32, can somebody get on the keyboard? We're about to pray now. Isaiah 32, verse 15. The Bible says, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high. So the Bible is saying here, there is a time coming. We must wait for that time. We must engage that time. We must precipitate that time. That when the Spirit comes from on high, when that Spirit comes, it knows how to turn things around. Look at it. It says, until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness become a fruitful field. One of the pictures, some of the pictures I like looking is before and after. I like looking at them. Even this building, I've still looked at before and after of this building recently, and I saw that wilderness can become a fruitful field. Now, we are not there yet, but we are not where we used to be. So it says, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high. There is an outpouring in this season. You can jump in it. You can take your own. There is an outpouring that can come that makes wilderness to become a forest. I don't care that forest. I don't care that wilderness. There are some of us, we have wilderness in our relationship. Our relationship is so dry. Our life is so boring. It's like work, school, home. We don't meet nobody. But there is something that can turn wilderness into a forest. You don't know what it means. A forest is not a tree. A forest is not a few trees. A forest is a lot of trees. So from nothing to many things. That is what the Spirit pouring out upon us can do. So the Spirit can be released. There can be an outpour. And let me tell you what happened on the day of Pentecost. There has already been an outpour. What God needs is an outtake. He needs people to take what has been poured out, because the Spirit has been poured out. And when that Spirit is poured out, the Bible says wilderness will become a fruitful field. A fruitful field will become a forest. That means you'll just be scaling heights. It is from glory to glory. It is from height to high. I want you to preach to somebody. Say, it is from glory to glory. It is from glory to glory. Height to height. In the name of Jesus. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3 to 4. Isaiah 44, verse 3 to 4. It says, for I will pour water. I will pour water. The Holy Spirit is also like water. It's like rain. I will pour water. As I'm speaking this morning, it's being poured out like water. But He's looking for some people that are thirsty. Do you know, as I'm preaching this message to you, I am also preaching it to myself, because I want water. I want God to still pour on me, because I am not there. There are dimensions. There are realms. There are places that I also want to touch. I want to get better. I don't want to be talking about the days we used to pray for hours. No. I want to get to places where in a day I'm giving God 10 hours. Yes, it's possible. Don't some of you go to work for 12, 16 hours? So why can't I pray for 10 hours every day? Pastor, so you wouldn't do anything? Of course I'll do something. We'll reduce the sleep and then we'll get grace. Don't worry about me, I'll be fine. But I'm looking for more to be poured out. And the Bible says the person that is thirsty, there will be more poured. It says, and flood upon the dry ground. I don't know if there are thirsty people here this morning. I don't know if there are people saying, Lord, 2024, I don't just want to say Happy New Year for routine's sake. I want it to be something different. I am hungry for more. I am thirsty for more. There are some of us, what we see today, we are grateful, but we know there is more. Let me tell you the truth. There is more. There is more. If Jesus said, greater works than this shall you do? If he said that, do you believe it? If you believe it, are you even doing what he did? And if you are not doing what he did, how are you going to do the greater work? You got to be hungry. You have to be tired. You can't just say this is your rest. This can't be it. This cannot be it. This cannot be the destiny that Jesus died for. This cannot be why he has invested so much. Some of you, the investment upon your life, look at it. Look at the quality of investment. I mean, the other day we were having workers meeting and somebody was saying they could speak this language, they could speak that language. That means they had been to that country, lived there a few times. And this person is pretty young in my own estimation. Look at that investment. Other language. You think God is a mistake? God likes to waste resources? No. He wants to use it for more. There's a reason he's preparing that donkey. He wants to ride on that donkey. So if you are that donkey, don't just feel cute. Oh, nobody has ridden on me. I'm so new. I've been here. I've been there. Excuse me. The master needs you. The master wants you to be dissatisfied with normal. Normal is overrated. Until the Spirit be poured from on high, until the Spirit be poured. And he said, I will pour water on the thirsty. I will pour water on the hungry. And they shall spring up. They shall spring up. They shall spring up. I'm believing God this morning that they shall spring up. There will be sons in this house. There will be daughters in this house. There will be many in this house. They will take a street. They will take a zip code. They will take a city in the United States for Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The Spirit be poured upon us. Let me share a few things. How you can align with the Spirit that is being poured out. Because, ladies and gentlemen, in this season and beyond, we have to be men and women who manifest God better than what we are doing. God does not have problem being manifested, but the issue he has is the vessels. They are not ready. They are not ready. And so, how do I tap into the outpouring of the Spirit for grace, or for the Spirit of grace and supplication? Number one, recognize the need for continuous outpouring. You know, I said that the Holy Spirit was already given. But you see, that is one of the challenges of the charismatic or the Pentecostal. Because we understand that Acts chapter 1 verse 8, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Acts chapter 2 from verse 1, and on the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and when they were there in one accord, in one place, you see, the Holy Ghost came like a mighty rushing wind, and they were all filled, and they spoke in tongues. And we charismatic think that means that once you are filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, that's about it. No! The Bible said, be being filled. That means there is leak that happened. We need to maintain a continual filling. There needs to be filling all the time. In Acts chapter 4, if you read Acts chapter 4 and read from verse 29 down to 33, you will see, actually from verse 25, you will see that when the apostles were beaten, the Bible said they went back to your company. And what did they go to do there? They went to refill. They went to recharge. They went to get stuff. They went to get power. They went to plug into power again. Think about it as an electric vehicle. That after you have driven, I think they're about 300 miles now or less. You know, you have to go to a charging station and charge it. and get ready for the next one. So they went to their company, which was their charging station. And the Bible said, when they went there, he said there was great grace. Why? They went back. So you need to recognize the need for continual filling. Oh, fill my cup, Lord. Every time I come to church, I'm always hungry. I'm always asking for more. There's got to be more. Yes, I knew. I said there's got to be more yesterday. But today is today. Today is not yesterday. Yesterday's gone. And today I'm in need. Breathe on me. Breathe on me. Breathe on me. Want you to breathe on me. Breathe on me. Oh yes, yesterday's gone. Today I'm in need. Holy Ghost power, breathe on me. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18. It says, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. We are told, or if you read that in the original language, in the Greek, it is be being filled. Be continuously filled. Maintain a constant filling scenario. Maintain a situation where you come back for more. More and more. You come back for more. You were filled yesterday, you come back today. Not just I was filled and I'm celebrating the fact that 10 years ago I was filled. No, I'm filled every day. Be being filled. Be being filled. Recognize the need for continuous outpouring. Position yourself. Wake up in the morning. Fill me again. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of bread of heaven. Fill me till I overflow. Oh, aplifsi glapatos. Recognize the need. Yes, you were filled. You need to be filled again. I can tell you, if you want to do business with God, it is not once and for all. It is once and again. You come back again. Like the woman at the well, I was thirsty for things that could not satisfy. But precious Savior. Are you helping me? All right. And fill my cup, Lord. Let's sing that together. I lift it up, Lord. Hey, adagope pila pile posi katande kaida ba. Bread of heaven, fill me till I overflow. Fill my cup. Adikosh de belebida baradoko di bende. Let me tell you the truth. There's more in God. God is a bottomless, unfinishable resource. Whatever you thought you saw about him was a dimension. Did you remember what he told Moses? He said, I can't show you me and you will live. No, I will show you a dimension. That dimension that Moses saw was how Moses was able to write Genesis. Moses was not there in Genesis. He saw a dimension. The dimension took him back to the beginning. Can you imagine? Can you just imagine the back side? What about the front side or other sides? Limitless. That's why you cannot be satisfied. Oh, I prophesied. Oh, there was a move of the Spirit and I was dancing. Praise God for that. There is more. There are dimensions of the Spirit. Calm. It's not boisterous. It's not a lot. In fact, it will look like nothing has happened, but a lot is happening. It is not all the time the Spirit of God is moving that people cry, people shout. Sometimes it comes like a gentle wind.
But he's there. He's there. He's there. Just like he's there. Even in this place. He's here. He's here. Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 1. How do I tap into this grace? I recognize the need for continuous outpouring. Then I request for outpouring again and again. Zechariah chapter 10 verse 1. It says, ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. So when the rain is falling on you, ask for more. Don't get satisfied. Just keep asking. Because there are measures. There are measures. There is 1,000 to the ankle. There is 1,000 to the knee level. There is 1,000 to the waist level. There is another measure that will cover you. You must not stop until you keep asking for more. Until you see him. You're always asking for more. I want more, Lord. Because I want more of you. I want more of you, Jesus. The more I know you, oh God, the more I want to know, oh you, Jesus, more. I want more of you, oh God, I want. That's our prayer as a church and as individuals this morning, God. I want. The more I know you, is the more I want to know you. Jesus, more of you. I want more of you. Not satisfied. I'm not content. This can be it. I'm not satisfied. Thank you for what you have done, but I want more. I want to be more useful for you. I want an outpour of your spirit. I want to be a man, a woman of prayer. Some of us are still dealing with prayer and praying for ourselves, but there is a dimension God wants us to get to, the place of intercession. Can you hold on to the horns of the altar and say, Lord, not on my watch, not while I'm in Chicago, this has to change. God is looking for Christians, men and women, who will ask for a nation. It was Abraham. One Abraham was saying, God, how can the judge of the earth, how will he do this? And there are many Christians in Chicago, they are still shooting people. You think that's a good thing? You think that is cool? You think God loves that? God is saying, wake up. God is saying, rise up. God is saying, don't sit on the bench. Stop sitting idly by. Some of you are sitting because you think it hasn't gotten to you. Let me tell you, every threat, every injustice, anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. If you see injustice in another neighborhood and you don't complain, it's coming to a neighborhood near you. It's coming near you. So if they are taking their children, I will not keep quiet because of my own children too. I'm not going to say it's not my own. I don't care. I care because if it touches God, it touches me. Whatever disturbs God, disturbs me. If people are killing themselves like animals, if there are more killings in Chicago than the one that is happening even in Israel and Gaza right now, I will not be quiet. I'm not going to be silent. I'm not going to be normal. There are too many normal of us. We have to remain and stand up and say we are not going to be normal again. Request for the outpouring. This can be it. Two cars, one house in the suburb. That's a bad American dream. It's a nightmare. The real American dream, that Jesus reigns. That is the true dream. That is a good dream. God glorified, Jesus exalted. That is the real dream. Because I wear the goods, I smell the goods, I look like the goods, I sit upon the good. Is that the good? No, that's not the good. It is when the good shepherd makes his way into the hearts of men. That is when we have the goods. Request for the outpouring. Finally this morning, and that's what we're going to do. Receive this outpouring by exercising it. Yes. You use it. You begin to pray. You begin to put yourself in that place. Prayer usually will start manually, mechanically, and then something will come upon that. Just you showing up, just too ready. Something will not come upon that. There is a level and a dimension of God you will never see it while sitting down. It will not happen. If you just keep sitting down and say, Lord, I want you to make me pray more. How do you know you can pray more? You start to pray. Then you now find out that you have beaten your own record because you went into the place of prayer. You start it mechanically. You, by your own will, say, I will pray. Then his will not take over your will. His power will be made available. But if you don't exercise your own will, first of all, he will not be able to exercise his own will. Some of you have been waiting. Oh, Holy Spirit, move me. He wants to move you, but you have to move yourself first so that while you are on the move, he will move you. Remember that they had to go to the upper room before the Holy Ghost came. If they were not in the upper room, he won't come. They had to be there. He says, tarry. It was when they tarried that they carried. The reason we have not carried is we are not tarrying. We are not staying. We are not showing up. And if we don't tarry, we will not carry. It will look like it's not available, but it's available. We could tarry. Can you stand to your feet this morning? I want some people to be dissatisfied and say, no. It cannot look like this when I'm here. Why should my family look like this? Why should that evil happen? Why should that bad thing happen? Why should that brother be going through that when I know about it? Why? I refuse. I rise up. I stand up. I enlist in the army of God this morning. You should be praying right now. Praying the understanding, praying the Holy Ghost. I enlist in the army of God and I say, Lord, we want more. Rapeli katalia, meni brafke pata, iskaparadianana, ayananana. Let there be an outpour, a fresh outpour of your spirit. You provide the fire, I will provide the sacrifice. Aine mene kata, eli brada balalala, erapada. Thank you, Father. Lord, blessed be your name. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever.
Amen. For thine is the kingdom.
Receive grace. Believe me, there is grace in this house this morning. Don't leave here without grace, brother. Don't enter the center without a fresh outpouring. I receive it this morning. Go ahead, receive. Say with me, say, I receive fresh grace. Oh, that's not fresh enough. Say, I receive fresh grace on my prayer altar. There is an outpouring of the Spirit of grace and supplication. I receive help on my prayer altar. Go ahead. Receive it now. Amen. Kelaboro shada dara.
Amen.
We receive grace. We receive help. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You are not praying. Be being filled. I want to be filled. No. You should be praying. There is grace. I can tell you I'm a recipient of grace. I have seen God help me. I have seen him enable my weakness. I'm a mortal man, but he has helped me. I have done some few things in this thing of prayer. It is here. You can take it. I don't want to keep saying I am not strong in the place of prayer. How can my house be a den of thieves? I refuse. Yes, oh God, my house will not be a den of thieves. Every buying and selling, every wrong thing, walking in my house, that is not of God. I receive grace.
Let your will be done.
An outpour, Lord. Let there be an outpour. No more number. We have hung around number for too long. Let there be an outpour. Out of our belly. Let there be a flow. Let there be a flow. In this house, all over this room. Let there be a flow, oh God. Out of our bellies. Let there be a flow. Supply. Peter told that man, he said, look on us. And he told them something. Told the man something. He said, such that I have. I can tell you the theories of prayer, but I can also tell you that there is such that I have. Oh yes. I didn't start to pray because I wanted to do church. No. God brought us into this way before church. Not because of Victory House. It's a ministry. It's a supply of a spirit of grace and of supplication. I was not the first. I met it at home, but it landed on me. So such I have this morning. I want you to look at me. I'm going to release. There will be a grace. Your prayer altar will catch fire. Fire will fall on your prayer altar. Every weakness gives way to the strength of God. In the name of Jesus, I speak over every knee that is weaker. Receive strength in the name of Jesus. Every prayer altar, every prayer altar, that the fire is out, let there be fresh fire in the name of Jesus. How do I know that the fire has fallen? I start to use it. I will wake up tomorrow like I have something now. I will wake up with the consciousness that I'm not normal. I am different now. I came in as Saul, I am living as Paul. I came in weak, I am living as strong. I came in sick, I am healing, healed. I will now behave like I am what I have been made. I am a child of God. There are Deborahs in this room this morning. There are Deborahs that have been birthed in this room. There are Jacobs that are now Israel in this room. There is a shift. There is a shift. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, let your kingdom come.
Let your will be done, God. Yahweh.
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 I don't know protocol. That person who is weeping, I said, weep no more. I say, weep no more. And I decree and declare, everything making you to shed tears of pain, let there be a turnaround in the name of Jesus. I speak to that person who said, when Lord, when Lord, when Lord? There's a question of long of time. There's a question of how long will I wait? I have been waiting, oh God. And I've come to say this morning to you, the wait has now been exhausted and you don't have to wait any longer. Receive the manifestation in the name of Jesus. I decree every weight that has become a waste, every weight that has now become a delay that turned to denial, let there be a status change right now in the name of Jesus. I speak to body parts, every part of you that is not functioning the way God meant it to function, let it hear the word of the Lord right now. Let there be a correction in the name of Jesus. From the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, be healed in the name of Jesus. I want you to stretch out your hands to me. God is going to hand things into your hand. He's going to touch those hands. Do you know that it depends on who touched you that matters on what you now touch? When Jesus, by his words, touched Peter's business, business that was not supposed to make profit in a very downturn economy, the Bible said he caught so many fish that he needed help. Hear me, there is boat, there is net breaking, boat sinking, level of the power and the blessing of God is coming upon those hands. It's coming upon those hands. It's coming upon those hands. Anything you lay your hands on is not permitted to die. It's not permitted to die. It's not permitted to die. Your hands are blessed. Your hands are blessed. The hand of the Lord touches you in the name of Jesus. Lay those hands on your head. Prophesy to yourself. Yes, be the first recipient of that grace. Those hands carry power. You have shifted something this morning and you go with grace. You go with power. When you see your children, lay them, two of them on them. Decree over them. You now know that course or that subject you don't know. You can speak. You can talk. You can do this. You can do that. Any limitation they have, remove that limitation by the laying on of your hands. In the name of Jesus. Some of you lay it on documents. Lay it on pictures. Lay it on prayer points. Because in the name of Jesus, next year, Thanksgiving, we will do a memorial. It will be a celebration of the miracles that will come out from the laying on of hands of the people of God. In the name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise this morning. What a good God. What a good God. Oh, what a good God. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. For the last time, let your kingdom come. As we go this week, let your will be done. Yahweh.
Yahweh. Let your kingdom come.
Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Turn to somebody as we go this morning. From Wednesday to Friday, we have opportunity to practice what has happened today. The spirit of grace and supplication. Me, I'll be enjoying it differently. I pray, but something has happened to my prayer altar recently. It's a twist recently. And I know it's happening to you too. I have seen that I have prayed more. If I look at the clocking, it's getting more. And we are not yet there. There's an outpour. Look at that person. Say, you have turned to another man. You have changed. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God with power. The kingdom of God with glory. Is finding expression in your life. In the name of Jesus. Do you know the last days of November will be the best days of November for you and yours? In the name of Jesus, the kingdom of God with power and glory will find expression in your life. In the name of Jesus. And in December, you are divinely repositioned for God's goodness. In the name of Jesus. Let's do this chant two times and let's go. Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. I'll see you on Wednesday.
Yahweh, Yahweh.